Welcome back. It's another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and we're going to have some fun. This is going to be a fun show. I talked about this on my morning show, Ben, but this Queens University basketball coach, Grant Leonard, situation, being mad at Auburn assistant Ian Borders for being one of the 33 people in attendance for the conference championship game. The conference championship tournament.
Just a grumpy old man.
Is hilarious. And there's like new levels that are popping up that we're going to talk about today. Right off the bat, is there anything, you know, what's your biggest takeaway from that whole story? If you haven't listened this morning, make a long story short, Grant Leonard tweeted at Field of 68, Jeff Goodman, all those basketball guys, and he's mad because – an Auburn assistant, Ian Borders, bought a ticket to the A-Sun Championship, conference championship, and sat in attendance to watch their game. And everybody's assuming, obviously, he's scouting players. And
he is.
This coach was not happy with that. Doesn't violate any rules, but he's not happy about it. What's your takeaway?
Auburn beat Queens by 40.
Okay.
Clearly, you're not a SEC caliber team. So why are you mad that coaches that work at better programs are sitting in the stands looking at your kids? That was my biggest takeaway. This was before I had that takeaway, before I found out that it was possibly Ian Borders that did it. As soon as he said SEC coach, I got to be honest with you, I went down the road of Calipari immediately.
I was kind of proud.
I was too. I'll be honest with you. I was kind of glad. So I went down the road to Calipari. As a matter of fact, I sent a text to a buddy of mine that he's a huge Memphis fan, lives in Memphis, was a huge Cal fan. And then when Cal left Memphis high and dry, like, he hates him. So I was like, hey, I think your boy's back in the news. As soon as I saw that it was a quote unquote SEC coach, I was like, that's from Cal staff.
Wrong.
My takeaway was so they bought a ticket. Like, I don't understand.
What's the story here?
Like, they just gave your conference money. Like, he bought a good ticket too. He didn't buy, you know, north end zone upper deck. He bought a full ticket.
Well, Ben, I mean, this is the crowd. So
he may have bought a north end upper deck ticket.
I think it was first come, first serve. I mean, this is the attendance. I mean, look at this.
That's fantastic.
Almost everybody was courtside.
Like, literally the best way to recruit a kid at a place like that is be like, we're going to get you more fans than this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to look at this from two different angles. Okay. Yeah. Number one, it's come to my attention that there is a good chance that Queens may not even have a basketball program next year.
You told me this, and this is wild.
Which is so hilarious. Like, that's essentially all of their players may be in the portal coming up this season. But apparently, Queens University, which is still wild, it's not in Queens, New York, it's in Charlotte, and Elon – not Elon Musk, Elon the university, are merging. Okay. Now they are petitioning to still, I don't know how do you merge but stay separate? They want to merge but stay separate and still have Queens and still have Elon basketball. Hmm. So the NCAA is going to have to make a ruling on that. Could be a scenario where they say no, and you have to come up with whatever this new organization you're going to call it. You're going to have to combine them, and you're only going to be able to have one team. So we are huffing and puffing, and there's a chance that we're not even going to have a team at all next year.
When you told me that, I was sitting there going, plus he contradicted himself. Because he was like, if you sit courtside, I'm going to call you out. I was like, but you didn't. You just said it was SEC coach. You didn't call him out. Like, that could have been a multitude of coaches. But the fact that I didn't know this, and he's probably known about this whole combining slash, I mean, I'm sure whenever this became an idea and a thought process, the administration got with him and said, look, guys, there's a chance you may not have a team next year. We may have to combine with Elon. Or there's a chance that with the schools combining, you still are able to have your separate programs, but we will not know that until we hear back from the NCAA. So he knows this going into the tournament. More than likely, it's not a secret. The players know it. So the players know, you know, okay, there's a chance I may not be playing next year at this place, especially some of the fringe players. And then if they're a good player, does this guy have delusions of grandeur that he thinks like a really good
keep
player
him anyway?
Stay at Queens and not go, with the transfer portal and NIL the way it is he under the impression that he has something better to offer at Queens?
This is the perfect segue into really the second portion is that very point. Like, why do you think your best players? Why do you think your best players at Queens are going to stay at Queens? Why, like, where does that come from? Like, when you talk about delusions of grandeur, where does that come from? Why aren't you embracing it?
Yeah.
Why aren't these small schools starting to embrace this? Saban did this one time, Ben, and I kind of, you know, I hated it at the time, but it was genius. He had a check. He had one of those big checks, and it was like, $111 billion or something like that. And basically it was all of the first round picks, their signing bonuses, their total contract values, all that good stuff. Okay. In other words, you come to Alabama, you're going to make this check. Why now are schools like Queens not doing the same thing? Like, it's a good thing. It's a good thing if a top tier program gets your best player in today's game, because it gives you something to sell. Hmm. And we've preached this about how kids, their value is highest when they're playing, when they're on the court, on the field, on the diamond, wherever it is. Man, become that. Embrace it. Become that. Hey, come here. Play right away. We'll get you a big check.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand why. And he seems to be one of the few coaches doing this that is doing it. Because you and I had this discussion before about Fresno State. Fresno State has literally, that's their deal of recruiting. They have said, oh, we go to these teams or we go to these kids that are fringe players at, you know, at Cal and at USC and at Arizona and Arizona State. We're like, you can be on the field at Fresno State. And we can put you in a position to grow your brand and go get paid at a larger, more football school later on. Like, they're leaning into it. They're like, hey.
Shoot, don't stop it. Don't stop it. College fringe players, go to high school, man.
Yes.
Get the high school kids.
It's like, you're not good enough to play at
You're two Florida, years away.
Or you're 2 years away from playing at Texas. You know what? Instead of going to your local junior college and playing, why don't you come to Fresno State? We'll put you on the field right away.
Yeah.
Maybe get you a little baby NIL deal with somebody local to help pay for some extracurricular stuff that you want to do. And then if you perform, if you put your money where your mouth is and you perform, you're going to go to Texas, Oklahoma, you know, Florida, Penn State, Michigan. Like, they're going to come get you because you're going to stand out and we're going to help you. We're going to make those calls for you to those schools. And
we're
going to
market you.
Why?
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's the only way these guys are going to survive.
Yeah. I will tell you this story. Let me tell you this story real quick. So the way we got Elijah Freeman, and I don't know the entire story, but I've told you before that close buddy of mine, he played at LMU where Elijah Freeman played.
Yeah.
And he lives in Nashville now, but he was an NIL contributor to LMU. Elijah Freeman was one of his athletes that he helped. He literally contacted me last year and he said, your guys are trying to get one of our guys and I hope he's successful and he makes it. Like, he's contributing money to his alma mater to help get kids there, get them on the court, and he is totally fine with them taking the extra step and going to Auburn because LMU's what, Division III? And, you know, or what we would consider Division III, and so, or NAIA, maybe they're NAIA. Small, he's not going to go to the NBA from LMU. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's got to go prove it somewhere else.
And
yeah.
So But yeah, my buddy Levi, he's like, no, he said, you guys are looking, there's a couple other guys looking. He goes, I really hope y'all get him.
And yeah. Like, I mean,
all for it.
That's the only way this thing's going to work for those type schools. Like yeah. They're going to have to embrace that. They're going to have to say, come up with a strategy of, we're going to play younger players and yeah. we're going to go recruit it that way. And we're going to have to put together something that helps our guys stand out, that succeed, so that they can go. You almost don't. You don't want a player to be there longer than 2 years. Like no. 2 years needs to be almost max. You know, and it's going to be a constant churn. But we're playing this game like we just still don't understand that the portal exists.
Yeah,
we don't understand the motivations behind it. I mean, look at Keyshawn Murphy. I mean, yeah. Keyshawn Murphy, he didn't win anything at Mississippi State, and he got a raise at Auburn. You know, didn't necessarily have a ton of on-the-court success, but it seems like you're pretty close to getting into the tournament. Mississippi State's not.
Yeah.
And you obviously won the first round of the SEC tournament yesterday. I mean, it's just all these schools that need to look in the mirror and understand kind of where they are in – relation to other schools. And like, it's not a surprise. So how do you benefit? How do you make this a plus? How do you turn it into something positive?
You either have got to make it a plus, buy into the way it's going, or you need to find an assistant coach job at a larger program. Because if you're so prideful as the head coach of Queens that you're not willing to accept that larger schools exist and will come after your best players to bring on board, and that those best players will show interest in larger schools where they can be on television every single day with the SEC network or the Big Ten network and make larger NIL deals than a school that's about to combine with Elon, you got to put your pride behind you. You got to – I know that thought process, because some of the coaches have said, they've even come out publicly and said, we're not junior college. We're not a stepping stone. No, you're not. But you know what you're not either? You're not Michigan. You're not Indiana. You're not Duke. You're not North Carolina.
In this scenario, you're not Auburn.
You're not Auburn. So I'm sorry. Yes, you're not junior college, but you need to realize your role. You know, you tell players all the time, know your role. Know your role on the program. Okay, well, you coaching at Queens, know your role. You're not Duke or Auburn or Georgia or anybody else. And if they come knocking, your kid's going to listen.
Did you see what South Florida's coach said? That South Florida's coach is kind of the thing that sparked this whole thing off, because he was doing an interview, and I don't even know. I've never seen this guy before. South Florida basketball coach. Brian Hodgson.
Okay.
I wonder how tall he is. He kind of has little man syndrome. But anyway, he was the one, and he basically said he's ready to fight somebody. You come after my players, we're gonna have a conversation in person. We're gonna meet you. All of us are gonna be in Indianapolis for the coaches convention or whatever the heck. We're gonna have a personal conversation if you come after my players.
Well, that's going to be rather embarrassing that some school comes in there and takes his players and whoops his ass. That's going to be really embarrassing.
Exactly.
I mean, he shouldn't have come out and said that. There's some coaches out there that are pretty big. Before he goes to mouthing off, he better be careful.
He's 6'6", so he's pretty tall. I don't know why he gave off little man vibes, but he is 6'6".
Let me tell you, he's 6'6", but Will Wade fights dirty. Just going to tell you, I'd be careful.
He's got a really darkly colored beard that's lined up really good, so that's why he's tough.
I bet he's got tattoos too. Something, he's really tough. He's a big guy. So
He quoted Liam Neeson from Taken. I have a particular set of skills. I will find you, all that kind of stuff.
He quoted that. So do the big schools. They got a particular set of skills. It's called money.
Yeah.
It's called success. And it's called notoriety. And you know what you don't have right now at South Florida? Money, success, notoriety, or Alex Golish. Like, you don't have any of that.
If you had to pick an Auburn basketball staffer to get in a fight with this guy, who would you take? Who do you think has the best chance to win? Steven's pretty angry.
I was gonna say, Steven's got like some built up energy. I think
Burgo is got the size. Burgo could bring the heat.
Yeah, you got to wonder size. You got to I don't know, man. Steven's always like, if you remember when he played, the fireness that he had when he played. I mean, he even tried to. There's a couple of times he got some shoving matches on the floor with opposing players.
Yeah,
I think he's still young enough. Like, if Bruce were still here, there's no chance I'm taking Bruce. He's a lover, not a fighter. But with Steven,
Marquise Daniels got he's got the reach.
Oh man, I keep forgetting about Marquise. Marquise is mixed up with NBA players too, so he's been there and done that with guys that got a little rough in the post.
And he's super long; like, you'd never be able to get to the body. He could jab you to death, and you'd never get close. That might be my pick.
You give me Marquise Daniels, and you give me Keyshawn Murphy on the trip with him. I'm taking those two all day long.
Oh God. Oh, Keyshawn Murphy. Yeah, Keyshawn Murphy. I thought you were talking about Keyshawn Hall.
No, he'd never show up. It's definitely. I mean, Murphy just comes across as that guy that I think he's got some built up energy too. So if you said, give me a coach and a player to take on a coach and players from somewhere else, that's it. It's Marquise and Keyshawn Murphy.
Hopefully, Nate Oates is trying to get some South Florida's players, and he has to go head to head with this guy.
You know who you don't want to mess with? Because I've heard
Brian Hodgson.
You know who you don't want to mess with? Not from Auburn, but have you ever heard the stories of John Shire when he was growing up in Chicago and how he would go to the projects and the courts there, and he would fight with people and he would mix it up and he would play? That's what got him the scholarship at Duke. Like, that's a
that
guy
sounds
that,
like a hate crime. Why would he do that?
That's a guy that like looks clean cut.
Yeah,
likes to mix it up a little bit. Like he's one of those.
He's small though, isn't he?
Oh man, he's like 6'6". He's like 6'5", 6'6". Yeah.
Why do I think everybody's smaller than they are? Is it just in you're comparing them to other giants in that sport? And I just 6'6" seems small. I guess I don't know.
I will say Buzz that was at A&M that's now at Maryland. Short guy. Like you can get that one right. But yeah, Shire was he's in the NBA too. I mean, he's minimum 6'4", 6'5". So he's a big dude. And so, I mean, Steven's probably, what's Steven, 6'2", 6'3", somewhere around there? He may be 6'4".
Yeah, he's at least 6'2".
Okay.
At least 6'2". Yeah, Shire's 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah. 6'5", playing on the inner city courts and kicking butt and taking name.
Steven's 6'5".
Yeah. That's okay. Old boy better be careful what he asks for when he says – he's going to square up with you.
Yeah.
You show up because.
Yeah, I'm going with Steven. I didn't realize he was that tall. I'm going with Steven in that
one. Yeah, he may get more than he may have bitten off more than he can chew. But getting back to it, though, Kyle, I think the biggest point here is if you're a smaller school, if you're not a Division I, I don't want to even say powerhouse because it could be a Division I, just power four team, you know, fringe team, like those kids at the smaller schools, like the Troy coach, he embraces it. He's on with our Montgomery station that we partner with here, and they had the Troy coach on every week. And he'll even say, he said, you know, it's my job to get these guys ready and get these guys to the next level. And that could even mean at a larger basketball school. Like he's not hiding the fact that, yes, Troy made the tournament 2 weeks in a row. Now, here's the thing. That guy's done a great job of playing politics because this is probably his last year at Troy. He's probably going to be Georgia Tech's next head coach. So you think he ain't going to take some of them Troy kids with him to Georgia Tech? So,
you're dang right.
And so that's another reason the South Floridas and the Queens, if you want to make it to the next level, quit pissing off the next level.
That's a good point.
Because
– oh, man.
You know, some of the guys on staff, when they get ready to hire the Queens coach, may say, no, that dude's been talking trash for the last 3 years. To heck with him. Let him stay at Queens. You know, the guy at South Florida wants to fight us. Let him stay at South Florida. So you got to buy – the bottom line at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for the kid. How many times have we said that? Do what's best for the player. And if it's best for the player from the state, your university, and prosper and be good, then fine. But if they can go play at a place that's going to get more notoriety, more recognition,
more
money with NIL, as well as an opportunity to get to the league. Maybe he goes and plays for a coach that may not be winning national championships, but puts guys in the league, then let the kid go, because you're supposed to be doing what's best for him or her or whatever. And it doesn't sound like South Florida and Queens is kind of bought in. Fresno State has, Troy has. There are other
– a lot of schools have.
Other programs have. Same with baseball. I mean, Sonny DeShera didn't come to Auburn from Samford without the opportunity for, at the time, Casey Dunn going, you need to go and you need to play. And then he gets drafted. So exactly. You got to let kids prosper and go where they're going to be successful.
For sure. Speaking of going, prospering, and being successful, Auburn takes on Tennessee tonight. It's a 5.5-point spread in Tennessee's favor. They just said, put out recently, that Nate Amint, I guess, shoot, when you listen to this, it's going to be basically over. So when this show goes up, the game will probably be over. Hopefully we win. Yeah. It's not much to say. Hopefully that you're celebrating right now. That their best player is going to be playing, Nate Amint. He's going to be limited. So how does that factor in? We'll see. Not much to talk about. There's no reason to break it down when this is going to come out after the game's over.
No, I'll say this. I mean, post-game, Steven was talking on SEC Network, and now Auburn knows when you get tournament time what every team's going to do. It's going to be to try to beat Auburn up, because Auburn's only got seven guys that are rotating.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one of those where, even if we're talking about this now and Auburn beats Tennessee, when they play tomorrow and if they win and play Saturday, every team is going to basically be trying to get into them, get physical with them, get fouls on them, because once you get past those seven guys, you don't have much to deal with. So
yeah.
He said that's just that's typical tournament play. He said that's the way when Auburn had a rotation of 10, he said that's what we did to teams. We tried to
beat them up,
beat them up and get to their sixth and seventh guy that had to make a difference. And we liked our chances when we got to that sixth and seventh guy. So Auburn's now on the other end of that, having very little depth, where teams are now going to take that route against Auburn and just try to beat the hell out of them until they can get the bench in the game.
Yeah, and eventually it's going to wear on you. So hopefully they won this one today and we can be going on to Vanderbilt, I guess, next. So
yeah,
just take down the whole state of Tennessee. Guys, appreciate it. We'll be back again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.